Good morning, everyone. Nominal performance in 2000 met our forecast in a very challenging environment where government actions and generic competition hindered the overall performance as anticipated. In this context, our financial results are in line with our goals and guidance. And importantly, we have achieved key R&D objectives that can set the basis for a sustainable long-term growth. In addition to the positive outcomes of Eclira and linaclotide phase 3, which we plan to file in 2011, three additional projects are entering phase 3. Eclidinium bromide plus formoterol in COPD, Sadivex in oncological pain, and LAS41007 in non-melanoma skin cancer. To this promising and potentially transformational later stage pipeline, we have recently added a MABA in preclinical stage. Bertil will comment further on that. P&L management and cost focus have also been a priority in 2010. Our ongoing cost optimization process has provided significant SG&A reduction, and we envisage strong operational savings of €7 million in 2011 and €25 million in 2012 and beyond. Important events in 2010 also included the launch of three new products, Toctino, Silodix, and Combrisa, that together with the excellent ramp-up of Tesavel and Efficib have mitigated the sales erosion. Let me also express my satisfaction for the recently announced license agreement for Eclidinium in Japan with Kyorin. This represents another step forward, expanding this global opportunity. Next slide. Let me now share with you the key takeaways from our financial results. Sales eroded as expected by mid-single decline, -4.7%, to €882.4 million, following price pressures and public austerity measures implemented across Europe. As commented, important operational savings and efficiency gains have been deployed during 2010, mainly from the rationalization of the commercial structure and the optimization of the back-office services. SG&A expenses have declined 6%, and our cost-based focus will be extended into 2011. R&D expenses, essential in our strategy based in innovation, has grown nearly 20% due to the investment needs in our later stage pipeline, mainly respiratory. EBIT and EBITDA have been eroded 13.8 and 11.3 respectively, given the combined effect of lower sales and higher R&D expenses. Important to mention that EBIT evolution would be nearly flat had R&D not increased in 2010. But we need to invest in the later stage pipeline to set the basis for long-term growth. Normalized net income has also evolved in line with our expectations, with a reduction of 5.9% to €136.7 million. Net debt remains low at 0.10 times EBITDA 2010 and provides a strong strategic options for non-organic growth. Free cash flow generation remains solid with €89.6 million despite significant investments in this period from corporate development projects. In summary, we have delivered as guided and we maintain our solid financial fundamentals in our balance sheet and cash flow generation. Next. In order to achieve a sustained and long-term growth, Almirall's strategic priorities are growing internationally, leveraging our R&D, and maintaining leadership position in Spain. We are executing successfully this strategy, focused on the creation of long-term shareholder value. As you can see, since the IPO in 2007, we have progressed substantially around these three axes. Today, 44% of our sales are international. The number of latest stage projects in development has materially improved, and we keep steadily a leadership position in the domestic market. Almirall's priorities in 2011 will also be driven by these strategic goals. As you all know, our payout policy has been consistent since the IPO. We have distributed dividends steadily within the range of 35% to 40%. The results achieved in 2010, combined with the soundness of cash generation and the solid balance sheet position, the board endorses a proposal to the AGM of €0.29. This represents a payout of 40%, which is the top end of the payout policy range. I now hand over to Eduardo to comment further the financial results, and I will be back at the end of the addressment with the 2011 outlook and the key deliverables we expect in the next 12 months.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. Well, as commented, the guidance that we issued during 2010 and our key financial goals have been achieved in a quite adverse environment. Both sales and normalized net income have retreated, as anticipated, in mid-single digit. Importantly, the financial fundamentals of the company remain very solid in terms of balance sheet and cash flow generation. And in this context, the net debt has been lowered to 0.1 times EBITDA, and the free cash flow generation remains strong at 89.6 million, despite substantial payments that have been made linked to our business development project. This position has been taken into account in order to propose to the annual General Assembly the dividend that Dr. Gallardo just referred to, which represents a payout of 40%, which is again at the top end of the payout policy range. Now, looking into some of the details of the profit and loss statement, in the functional P&L of the year, we see basically the reflection of the forecast that we derive our guidance and the effort that we have deployed during the year to optimize our cost base. So in this sense, the sales evolution is again of minus 4.7%, driven primarily by the substantial price erosion, particularly in Spain, and generic competition, as well as price referencing for some of our key products like Prevencor or Atorvastatin in Spain. Our gross margin has also deteriorated a bit as percentage on sales, primarily also driven by the price decrease on our selling products. So again, we have been going down from 62.8% as percentage on sales in 2009 to 61.9% in 2010. Other income continues to be a key contributor and a reflection of Almirall's operating model. This parameter has been strong at close to 120 million and reflects basically higher co-development contributions and other kind of contributions from our partners. R&D has been one of the main drivers of the performance in the P&L, particularly in terms of the erosion on the operating income. And again, this is a reflection of the need to continue funding our pipeline and securing our long-term future. So with that, R&D has been increasing by 20% in 2010, and one of the main drivers has been the phase 3 clinical development program on aclinium bromide. SG&A, on the other hand, has continued to be managed in a very disciplined way, and has declined 6% in absolute value, showing the strong cost-based rationalization process that we have ongoing in the company, and that is reflected at the bottom of the slide in the evolution you can see on the total number of employees. So we finished 2009 with 3,125 employees, and we have finished 2010 with 2,831 employees. Basically, EBIT and EBITDA see the reflection of the elements at the top. So again, it's basically the erosion in sales, primarily driven also by price erosion, the increase in R&D, and despite the efforts to constrain the cost in SG&A, we see basically EBIT going down by almost 14% and EBITDI going down by 11%. We have some also extraordinary items, in this case of a negative nature. I mean, last year we have a positive element related to the disposal of some non-core assets, while this year we also have some restructuring costs, which again are meant to provide substantial savings in 2011, 12 and beyond, as well as some impairments, and I will come back to those later. Normalized net income has then evolved as predicted in the mid-single digit decline, and I will come back in a moment in the reconciliation between EBIT and normalized net income. Net income then, in total, goes down by 21.7%, also reflecting, as I said, the positive extraordinary elements that we had in 2009, while in 2010 we have some negative elements that also basically add pressure to the total net income. So in this slide, we see basically the evolution from EBIT to normalized net income. As anticipated, we have taken substantial restructuring costs during 2010, as we also did to some extent during 2009. Basically, these costs reflect or include non-recurring costs related to the rationalization of the commercial structure as well as some back office positions. Additionally, and in line with our strategy of asset optimization, pressured by austerity measures across Europe and the decisions being taken by many governments, we have included impairment losses for about 14 million euros. On the other hand, we have reflected in the tax, in the effective tax rate, the substantial increase in our R&D activity, with which you are familiar with. And also, on the other hand, the financial expenses have been lower than they were in 2009, reflecting basically lower levels of cancellation of some of the debt, as well as some positive financial income during 2010. Basically, in this slide, you see that we have continued to exercise pressure in the rationalization of our commercial structure, not only in Spain, across also some of other affiliates. We have continued to streamline our back office operations, and also we have tried to gain efficiencies by centralizing some services from the affiliates. All that has penalized through restructuring charges our extraordinary expenses in 2010, but is creating the opportunity to generate substantial savings of 7 million in 2011 and 25 million in 2010 and beyond. These savings are quite substantial, and those generated as of 2011 and from 2012 onwards are equivalent to 15% of the EBIT achieved in 2010. Again, this next slide also provides a further explanation on the substantial efforts that we have been putting in place starting in 2009 to reduce the effective SG&A. So again, in 2008, you can see that SG&A represented 46.3% as percentage on sales, while in 2009 it went down to 41.8%, and in 2010 to 41.2%, despite again the reduction in sales. During 2011, our commitment continues as we target an additional mid-single-digit decline in absolute terms for SG&A. So moving from the P&L to the balance sheet, this continues to be in very good shape, as you can see, and we have strengthened our financial position during 2010. Intangible assets are going up, driven by the materialization of new business development projects in 2010. And importantly, both inventories and accounts receivables have improved with a positive impact in cash flow generation. Financial debt is temporarily up as we have leveraged a bit of our debt capacity to support and pay for some of the newer business development projects during the year. And the reason for this is that we were getting better conditions out of leveraging some of our existing credit facilities rather than using our cash, which is invested in a very favorable conditions right now. Lastly, our equity represents a healthy 53% of the total assets and the total equity and liabilities. So now let's take a snapshot on the evolution of the net debt. And as you can see, we have continued to exercise very good also discipline on this one, and despite the fact that we have made the good use of cash to pay for some of the business development projects that we have accomplished during 2010, this parameter still remains very healthy and has continued to go down basically as a multiple of our 2010 EBITDA. And this obviously provides us with the full strategic options for the company if we were to continue developing or materializing the opportunities represented by business development projects. In terms of the cash flow generation, our operating cash flow reached 174.6 million euros. It was more than sufficient to cover investment opportunities, payout policy, and debt pay down in 2010. Although changes in the working capital are very positive, the operating cash flow was lower than the previous year due primarily to two key factors. The inclusion last year of the upfront payment from Forest related to the lava product, and also changes in the schedule of corporate income tax payments, which actually we have seen in all the different quarters of 2010. Investments in the period have been fairly stable, including the maintenance capex, very much stable around 20-25 million euros. But also in this line, we are including particularly the payments related to business development projects, such as, for example, Tocino and Linaclotide. We already spoke about the financial debt being temporarily up for the reasons I just mentioned. And all in all, our free cash flow generation continues very solid in the period with more than 89 million euros. So with that, I'm going to pass over to Luciano Conde.
Thank you, Eduardo. Let me share with you the business results highlights of operations in 2010. As already mentioned by Jorge and Eduardo, the pressures on pricing through healthcare contribution in Spain and the new generic reference price system impacting mainly Prevencore have brought our sales to the level we anticipate in our guidance. Having said that, this, let me stress the fact that our international business keeps growing, with excellent results in Poland, plus 30%, Mexico, plus 15%, and UK, plus 8%. The evolution of our affiliate companies in the major European countries, Germany, France, and Italy, has been positive, although within the mid to low single-digit range. Overall, the evolution of our top 15 products, if we exclude the effect of Prevencore, has been plus 3%. In 2010, we have introduced three important products, two at domestic level, Silodex and Combrisa, and Toctino, a first-in-class derma product for which we have distribution rights for 10 European countries and Mexico. These launches, combined with the ramp-up of Tesavel and Efitip and the evolution of Parapres in Spain, as well as the derma portfolio rollout, are key to ease the pressures on our top line. One element embedded in our philosophy is operational efficiency. In line with it, we have continued our actions, optimizing industrial assets to adjust our manufacturing size to the future needs of the company. We have kept our structure aligned with the requirements of promotion of our portfolio, and in 2010, we have done special efforts to adjust our commercial structure to the new realities as they materialize, with reductions done in Belgium, Portugal, and Spain, and smaller trimmings in several more countries. Let me turn to the sales segmentation by region during the period. An important comment is that excluding the Prevencore effect, the Spanish sales are stable. Another one is that in an adverse context of price pressures across Europe, our international business continues growing. We did open a new affiliate in 2010, covering the Scandinavian countries, helping us to progress in our key corporate objective of becoming a pan-European company. Bottom line is that today, 44% of our business is generated internationally, and still international expansion is a key objective and priority for the company in 2011. An important element that affects our top line but has minimal effect on the bottom line is the decline of corporate sales. This low-margin business continues to decline as we continue to phase out the toll manufacturing operations that we have in the past. We continue to make good progress in our key strategic therapeutic categories. Gastrointestinal was up 11.3%, derma 7.6%, and respiratory improved 2.3%. I would like to highlight that if we exclude the Prevencore impact, the growth of the cardiovascular franchise was near a strong 7%. I will move to briefly comment on the breakdown of our top 15 products that today represent around 70% of our sales. As you see, our portfolio remains well diversified in terms of products, therapies, but also geographies, with no overexposure to one single product. Avastin, our best-selling drug, has performed rather well and has grown 4.5% versus previous year. The most challenging item in the year has been the reference price in Spain for Prevencore, with an impact of almost 40 million in our top line, nearly 5% of our 2009 sales, but it has also affected some other older products in our portfolio. We have managed rather well the eruption of generics of Aserti in Spain, where legal action has avoided its inclusion in the reference price system. However, in general in the countries, there is an increase in generic competition, as well as a rise in health system taxes and contributions demanded by health authorities. In the case of Almogran, the evolution is due to stock management of our partner in the U.S. I would like also to highlight the good performance of our dermatological franchise, Valium growing at 10%, Solarase at 6%, and Decoder 3 entering our top 15 list with a nice growth of 15%. During 2011, we expect to reinforce our international derma presence with international launch of Actikeral, LAS-41005, Solarase in Spain and Poland, continue some further territories, and the rollout of some new presentation of Valium in Spain and Poland. I would like to point out to the excellent performance of Tesavel Efitip in Spain, which we envisage to grow to become one of our top sellers in the near future, as well as Parapres, which has grown almost 10%. In summary, a mixed bag of situation that fairly depicts the transition status of our portfolio pre-launch of the new opportunities. Coming back to operational efficiencies, We continue to progress on the project to concentrate our manufacturing capabilities in two sites. This project, initiated in 2009, has led us to close a manufacturing plant in France without any business disruption, to carry on a major reorganization in Germany in 2010 after discontinuing of the toll manufacturing business, and today we continue to advance in the consolidation of our two facilities in Barcelona into one. As per today's evolution, we are confident to complete the project at the end of 2011. Concomitantly, we continue to adjust our commercial structure to the promotional requirements of our portfolio, and we take actions to keep it trim, fit, and aligned with our commercial expectations. This is an update of our latest launches in 2010, which have contributed to strengthen our core business. Silodex and Combrisa has been launched in 2010 in Spain, and Toctino has already contributed to the sales in Austria and Italy. With regard to Sativex, we recently announced that the Ministry of Health in Spain has approved the reimbursement of the product. As announced in our previous communication, a mutual recognition procedure is ongoing in other European territories, and we expect to introduce Sativex during 2011 in Spain, Germany, Sweden, and Denmark. Bertil will comment on the evolution of other indications of Sativex, for which we also hold pan-European rights as UK. And with this comment, I will pass the word to Bertil.
Okay. Thank you, Luciano. It's a pleasure to be in this event today. Let me start by presenting myself. I'm Bertil Lindmark, since the 10th of January, the new scientific officer of Almirall. I'm delighted to join the Almirall team and to lead the research and development of our exciting and innovative portfolio. In fact, one of the reasons why I joined Almirall is its strategic focus on innovation. This is reflected particularly in the remarkable pipeline for a company of the size of Almirall. I believe we have a great potential for growth, both in the next time period, but also growth sustained over time. The products we develop will provide great value both for patients and to investors. And I believe I can bring my experience of over 20 years in R&D, especially both in the respiratory and GI fields where I have all-phase experience and having led both conceptualization, development and launch of several respiratory and GI products in EU, US and Asia, including Japan. I'll be glad to address any questions related to R&D in the Q&A. Next slide. Let's now jump to the 2010 highlights. As you all know, we recently successfully completed the phase 3 of two key assets, aclidinium bromide monotherapy and of linaclotide. We aim to file both during 2011, and both represent quite remarkable opportunities for our company in the midterm. But beyond these, three additional compounds are also in or entering phase 3, aclidinium bromide plus promoterol in COPD, Sativex in oncological pain, and LAS41007 for non-melanoma skin cancer. From all three, we will generate news flow in the forthcoming quarters. Another key asset in the respiratory is the once-daily LABA combined with an ICS, which is also progressing with additional phase 2 studies. But probably the most interesting update on our pipeline we present today is the incorporation of a MABA. It's a one-molecule anticholinergic and beta-2 agonist. I'll be back later on that. This is a snapshot of the forthcoming R&D news flow. During the first part of the year, we expect regulatory feedback from two derma compounds, as well as additional actinium bromide data to present it at the ATS. By mid-year, we expect to file both aclidinium bromide both in Europe and in the US. This is a very important milestone for Almirall R&D. The second part of the year will gain intensity with the filing of linaclotide in Europe, the completion of LAS41007 phase 3, the start of the phase 3 of aclidinium bromide plus promoterol, and further phase 2 activity with the once-daily LABA plus ICS. Next slide. Let me underline that three additional projects are also entering or are in the early phase, part of phase 3 as we start 2011. Two of them have already kicked off, Sativex in oncological pain and LAS41007 for non-melanoma skin cancer and the aclidinium combo starting phase 3 in the second half of the year. These represent three different indications with different timelines. LAS41007 will complete phase 3 this year, and Sativex and aclidinium bromide and promoterol will be delivering news flow beyond 2011. This is a healthy indication of our strong late-stage pipeline moving forward. Next slide. Actinium monotherapy is, we believe, very well positioned to become the second LAMA in the COPD market and will offer patient benefit both from its pharmacology and from the Genua inhaler. Recent phase 3 showed excellent efficacy and good tolerability, and we believe that the first dose onset of action, the twin peak bronchodilatation, and the patient-friendly Genua device will offer a very good choice for both patients and prescribers. As commented, FDA and EMA filings are targeted for mid-2011. And following the agreement with Kyorin in Japan, preparation of development activities are ongoing. Before that, we expect to present additional data at the ATS in Denver in May and at ERS in Amsterdam in the fall. Next slide. The second key filing is linaclotide, a very innovative oral peptide developed for IBS-C, irritable bowel syndrome of the constipation type. As we announced last year, we completed the two pivotal phase 3 studies with very convincing data. In both studies, the two co-primary endpoints required by EMA were met. Additionally, all main secondary endpoints were met, including 26-week endpoints. The product is very well tolerated, as it is barely absorbed at the therapeutic dose, minimizing the risk for any systemic effects. As you know, no product has ever been approved by the EMA in this indication. So when approved, linaclotide will offer a new therapy in this new indication. Almirall holds pan-European rights for this compound and aims to file during the second half of the year. Next slide, please. As you understand, Almirall is building a strong respiratory franchise around the Genua device. We're trying to offer patients and prescribers a wide range of therapeutic options in COPD and asthma with a very innovative and user-friendly and safe device with unique features. The newest addition to this franchise that we announced today is a MABA in preclinical stage that could move into clinical early next year. This is a molecule entirely conceived at Almirall Research, and we believe that this molecule has very interesting properties and that the molecule can be a very important innovation and valuable addition to the Almirall respiratory portfolio. Next slide, please. The derma franchise is also moving forward with a wide set of compounds. Two of them are already filed and pending of regulatory feedback, as mentioned, LAS4105 and LAS4102. And one is finishing phase 3, as commented, during the second half of this year, LAS4107. Two additional compounds, LAS4103 for infected eczema and LAS4104, for psoriasis, moved into phase 2 during 2010 and will trigger additional news flow in 2012. Dermatology continues to be a key priority as we aim to support from R&D the growing sales generated by this expanding franchise. This is the summary of all we have communicated so far today from an R&D perspective. You will notice that we have reorganized the pipeline display. We have removed from the therapeutic area criteria to another based on phase progression. We have also omitted the backup compounds and those assets on hold. This first slide shows the late stage pipeline led by three registered compounds pending a regulatory feedback and four compounds in phase 3. Next slide. And this second and final slide shows what is moving forward and coming next with the addition of the MABA that I mentioned previously. All in all, this is the deepest and widest pipeline in the history of Almirall, and I see great future prospects for transformational growth of our company based on the R&D and our business development achievements. Thank you very much, and let me now turn to Jorge for the final remarks.
Thank you, Bertil. Over the last year, we have made key progress in our late-stage pipeline, launched new products, and complemented corporate development opportunities that reinforce our base business and set the basis for a sustainable long-term growth. Speaking of prospects for 2011, and barring unforeseen circumstances, we expect a high single-digit decline in sales performance, driven by the carryover effect of 2010 price pressures engineering competition. R&D trends, for which we expect high single-digit increase, will reflect the need to invest in later-stage pipeline to set the basis for long-term growth. From an SG&A perspective, cost focus will remain a priority throughout 2011, and we envisage single-digit decline. From a normalized net income perspective, we expect mid-teens decline, driven by sales erosion and higher R&D expense. Importantly, this outlook does not include new corporate development agreements. Finally, let me briefly share with you a selection of key deliverables in the next 12 months. From an operations point of view, we expect to launch Sativex in 4 countries and to continue the international rollout of Toctino. The general context in operations will remain on cost focus and productivity gains, aiming to protect our P&L from sales erosion. After the agreement with Kirin in Japan, our corporate development teams will have as key priorities the partnering of our lacridium bromide in Europe and other selected geographies. Also, we'll pursue new licensing in activity around core therapies and to explore acquisition opportunities. Finally, we expect 2 major filings in 2011, complemented by the progression of the rest of our respiratory franchise, including the recently added MAP. Thank you very much. Jordi, back to you for Q&A.
Yes, thank you very much to all. Operator, back to you for Q&A, please.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Your first question comes from Jo German of Citi. Please ask your question.
Hi there, morning. It's Jo German here from Citi. A couple of questions if I can. Firstly, just on the financials for next year, you've clearly given some quite detailed line item guidance. Thanks very much. Focusing on one of the areas you didn't, which is on cost of goods. I mean, looking at the various bits of guidance you've given, to me, sort of back of the envelope, it sort of implies a similar type of margin squeeze at the cost of goods line in 2011 in terms of the amount of hit as you get in 2010 to reach your guidance. Would that be fair, i.e. you wouldn't be expecting a significantly worse gross margin in 2011 versus 2010? And also just on tax rate, if you could, you say your R&D spend is going up in 2011. Can we also assume then that that also means you will get a very beneficial tax rate again in 2011? And then just on aclidinium, 2 questions. Firstly, just on the data to be presented, you've talked about more aclidinium data at ATS and at ERS. Could you just let me know which of those will be the sort of pivotal phase 3 data, and will we be seeing any data with the combo at a medical meeting this year? And finally, just in terms of your EU partner discussions on aclidinium, now you've got that phase 3 data, are you already in preliminary discussions on that asset, or do we need to wait a little while longer before we hear anything on that?
Okay, this is Eduardo Sanchez. Let me take on some of your questions. When it comes to the first question on gross margin and cost of goods, let's put it this way. I mean, we do not expect to have a continuous deterioration of gross margin in 2011 as compared to 2010. So I think that the hit was already there. I think that we are having some mixed performance in sales with some of the newer products compensating for the erosion of some of the older products, as has been said. So in our estimation at this point, we do not anticipate the gross margin will continue to erode. When it comes to taxes, you're right. I mean, as a combination of a very high R&D expense as well as continued growth in R&D expenses, we also continue to expect to have very low effective tax rate during 2011. When it comes to partnering for aclidinium bromide in Europe, we have some ongoing discussions, still in relatively early stages. As you can imagine, basically, we have said this a number of times, that We didn't want to rush into doing that until we had basically full visibility on the pivotal trials for gliadin bromide. We wanted to secure first and foremost the situation in Japan. Now with that on our back, we have had some preliminary conversations with interested parties for Europe. We intend to give to that a significant priority during this year. But I think it is unlikely that we will see an agreement being reached before the second part of the year.
Regarding actinium bromide, we will present data both at the ATS and ERS. At this point in time, we've submitted a number of abstracts, and of course, we don't know as yet which have been accepted. We believe that we have a very strong file, generally speaking, and that the combination of all our data will be a very strong asset. I will not give you any detail on exactly how we're going to present that during the year.
Or just on whether you've also submitted some abstracts with the on the combo for this year. Will we be seeing any of the data on that?
We haven't said anything about that at this in time, so we'll come back.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Alberto Marenco of One Investments. Please ask your question.
Can you tell us on your guidance on increase on R&D, can you tell us how big that will be in 2011 and 2012? You say high single digit increase, the more the question is the high, can we forecast also the same increase in 2012 and 2013, or will that stabilize?
We have tried to provide as much information as we could at this point, being still relatively broad. So I think that we have indicated high single-digit increase in R&D for 2011, which I think is already quite specific. And this is driven once more by the initiation of the first phase 3 trial on the combination of aclinium bromide and formoterol. In 2012, we will see the start of the phase 3 on the long-acting beta agonist that we have. So that says that at least R&D expenses probably will not go down. So that will be another significant event for 2012. Obviously, we will continue to manage that in a way that doesn't put a tremendous amount of burden in our operations. And we are doing that also by means of the way we establish the collaboration with our partners, particularly in the case of aclinium bromide and LABA with Forest. So that will help to alleviate the tension on the P&L. But certainly when it comes to 2011, I can only reiterate what we said about the high single-digit increase in our total R&D expense.
Yes. And again, on the combined therapy, it seems that Novartis is already in phase 3, and you are... when do you think you're going to move to phase 3 too? And how do you see, what you understand it's going on with the competition on that specific drug? And especially on the combo.
Well, as we said in the slides, the actinium bromide formoterol combination will move into phase 3 during the second half of this year. So we're progressing, and we believe strongly in this product.
And any comment on what the competition is doing, or any understanding or any of the difference of your product vis-a-vis the competition that you want to share with us?
No, I think we'll focus on the Almirall data. Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Peter Welford of Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Oh, hi, yes, thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, just on the corporate development agreements that you have in place at the moment, I was just wondering, should we assume that given the timings you have for filings of both aclidinium and enaclitide, are those events included in your financial guidance for this year? And then secondly, if you could perhaps go through exactly how both the payment for linaclitide to Ironwood and also the payment from Forest on aclidinium will be accounted for when they will be received. So which line item will they fall in, and how will they be booked in the 2011 financials? Right. Thank you.
Well, in the guidance that we have given, yes, we have incorporated what we know is already in the agreements that we have as of today. That includes sort of curing as well as forest. So basically, I mean, obviously we knew that the curing was very close, so we basically provided the guidance under the assumption that that was going to be announced very shortly. So both, I mean, all the agreements that we know and that have been made public as of today have been taken into consideration when developing the other income line for 2011. There are some milestone payments related to indeed some key events on both products, both in and out, so only Naclotide and Clinibromide, and they are basically considered as income or expense basically when it happens. So again, everything is already included into the other income line. Any new agreements or anything related to Europe will be new. Anything that we do for the geographies, again, there is some upside room. Indeed, if those elements were to be accomplished successfully during 2011.
Okay, so just to ensure I understand that right, so but the milestones will all be booked in 2011. There won't be any deferral of the amounts over future years. And the linaclotide milestone out will not be booked in R&D in that high single-digit increase. That will also fall in other income as an offsetting feature.
The other income, basically, what we include in other income is a reflection of the milestones and the economic transactions that we have with our partners, as well as the contributions that partners like Forest basically do to pay for their part of the development cost. So basically, this is the way we have traditionally, for the last quite number of years, accounted for the expenses as well as the contribution for partners, and basically it's continuation of that. So it's relatively simple and straightforward in as much as we have disclosed, because we have not given a lot of detail on key events or key milestones to come in the future related to the projects that we have. All I can say is that the agreements that we have in place right now have been taken into consideration in the other income line and when providing the guidance that we are providing today.
That's great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Christian Quaid of JB Capital Markets. Please ask your question.
Good morning. I have three different questions. On atorvastatin, as at least as of the third quarter, it seemed like you were able to maintain your volumes of sales and mainly hit by the price. Would you expect to be able to maintain the volume that you're selling at atorvastatin during next year, or do you expect that to be hit maybe as much as Pfizer has been hit? And the second question on your employment, as you said, the amount of employment you have, you've laid off about 9.4% of your of people. Could you maybe break down that in terms of what kind of sales force or R&D or what has been impacted the most? And thirdly, this morning, the Wall Street Journal speculated that Kyowa Hako Kirin may target Almirall as a acquisition target for this European expansion. Would you care to maybe comment on that and what your position is on a potential acquisition? Thank you.
Okay. This is Luciano Conde. Regarding your first question, we have been hit hard basically so far because of the price. You have to remember that the price has eroded substantially our sales, not so much on the volumes. But obviously, we expect a deterioration of both volumes and price during 2011, and this is factoring into our guidance for the year. Okay. Regarding your second question, I did not fully grasp what do you exactly want to tackle.
The layoff that you've accomplished during 2010, I'm just wondering how that breaks down. Is that mostly sales, or is it also involving R&D people, or how is that?
No, it has not included R&D people. It has been basically on the commercial operation as well as back office
and manufacturing. Some manufacturing.
Okay, thank you. And the last one regarding the speculation?
Yes. About the Kyowa Hako. Well, frankly, I have not seen this news from the Financial Times. These things appear from time to time. It's no basis. So we don't have any contact with Kyowa Hako. So that's my comment.
Okay, well, it was in the Wall Street Journal online if you want to try and find it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Your next question comes from Ana Gonzalez of Caja Madrid Bolsa. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, good morning, everybody. I just wanted to know, apart from what you commented already in the other income level, should we expect further restructuration costs to come for 2011 apart from the ones announced already in 2010? Are these mainly in line with what you announced already, or should we expect a larger amount?
No, we do not expect that the restructuring charges in 2011 will be any higher than in 2010. There may be some. We continue to implement a very substantial program that has to do basically with centralization of functions, and that should lead to higher level of efficiencies and a reduced cost. So some of that has been implemented, and the most significant part of the restructuring charges paid during 2010. We may see a little bit in 2011, but at this point we are not contemplating anything substantial. And in any case, everything is basically included into what we have set for 2011.
All right. And regarding the payout level, this 40% that you just announced that you intend to distribute for 2010, is it something that we can observe that's sustainable for next years to come?
I think what you can count as sustainable is basically, unless we say otherwise, is the general policy that we have of 35 to 40%. I think that the situation was recently debated at the board of directors, and for the time being, they basically made it clear that they want to continue with this policy. Of 35 to 40%, and it has been in line with that the decision has been made, or at least the proposal to the Annual General Assembly on providing the proposal, again, at the top end of the range of 40%.
Right. Would you also consider any share buyback program?
You know, at the end of the day, I think it depends on the opportunities that we see for the use of the cash, and whether the cash that the company has can be put to good use, particularly through funding business development opportunities. I think that over the last years, we have been able to in-license or acquire at least two major projects per year, and right now you see significant contribution to the top line on products like Tesabel, Epicib, as has been said, and also some others that have been launched right now. I mean, Sativex, Toctino, Silodix, etc. So a very significant portion of the investments, of the $90 million that we have invested in 2010, come primarily through business development agreements. So as I said earlier, only about $20-25 million come from basically replacing our productive capex, and the rest is basically coming from business development deals. So it depends really on whether we feel that we can have good opportunities to make good use of the cash to continue funding the growth of the company, or whether it may be more appropriate to distribute some more cash to the shareholders. But again, we will make that call when the time comes. For the time being, the decision has been made regarding dividends based on 2010 results, and it is what we have communicated today. But definitely, we consider all the options open as time passes.
Okay, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time, Mr. Molina. Please continue.
Well, no further questions. Thank you very much to everyone for your attendance today, and let's keep in touch. Thank you. Have a nice day.